football on off the ball.
Once the fallibility centre sets in, once age starts to catch up with him, once Stephen Hendry's there, Steve Davis rolling back the years is one of the great things in snooker. Just because he was old and, as you know, to use John's phrase, had exposed his feet of clay.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello, you are very welcome to the LOI pod and Off the Ball. It is Stephen with you here again this week. Shamrock Rovers back on top of the table, while Sligo Rovers have put back-to-back wins together. A good weekend for the Rovers. Interesting at the bottom of the table as well. And at the top with Dundalk leapfrogging Bohemians into third place in the table. Before we go any further, let's have a listen to what happened in the League of Ireland on Off the Ball last Friday.
What happens with this Dublin derby is Bowes can win 3-0 or Shamrock Rovers can win 3-0. There's just no sense to it. There's no form, no nothing. But I suppose on paper, and you look at what Shamrock Rovers are doing over the last couple of weeks and where they're heading to, I think they're ahead of everybody in the league and I expect them to win tonight.
The style of Burke, who keeps on going, he's still going, gets a bit of contact. Rob Hennessy, happy. The turnover comes, Burke, second occasion, into the back of the net. Graham Burke, 5 minutes gone, gets the breakthrough. He's recently got his 100th league goal for Shamrock Rovers, but he's after getting a big one in the derby here.
An outswinger, up goes Hickey. More breaks now. Mullen scoops it around. The shot is taken, cleared. Hickey strikes off the bar. Comes out again. Todd, is that a hand? Referee says no. How did the ball not go in there? Hickey scored at that end of the ground for Galway United a couple of seasons ago. Went close there. Rattled off the bar. Mullen now, as he stretches, takes a shot. Comes off the post again. Mullen. McGinley saved. Tierney. And again, it's another block. It just will not go in.
The ball hits the crossbar. It hits the post. It's a brilliant save by McGinty, one or two times as well in the middle of that, all happening there in the space of a couple of seconds. It was Jordan Flores ultimately, but Rovers are in
there. Here we go, Danny Grant is open country on the counter-attack. Grant in towards the penalty area, still goes. Danny Grant takes a shot, scuffs the effort. It's a penalty. It's a penalty for Shamrock Rovers. Danny Grant against his former side. Looked like he'd initially maybe kicked the ground.
And it's Dawson Devoy who's just a piece of lazy leg. Danny Grant done really well, just to check inside. He gets past power, and as Grant is lifting his leg back to kick the ball towards goal, it clips Devoy. So it's a little bit harsh on Devoy, but I think ultimately it's a free kick if it's anywhere else, so therefore it's a penalty.
Ray Burke scored in the 5th minute, now from the spot on the 44th minute, has the opportunity to double the lead, and that he does. Rolls it into the bottom left-hand corner for the second time. Shamrock Rovers lead the derby by 2-0. The post hit on one end. 30 seconds later, the lead is doubled. A big swing prior to halftime.
Enough Rovers ultimately got the job done. But there wasn't a lot between these two teams. Bowes didn't start the game well. Rovers did. Got the sort of 3 points in the bag early. Couple of contentious decisions with penalties here, there and everywhere. Bowes will feel a little bit hard done by. Probably deserved a draw on the night. For Shamrock Rovers, it's about getting over the line in these games. Valuable 3 points. Extends their lead over Bowes and their battle for winning the league title.
Yeah, look at me. I thought, obviously, Graham Burke is top quality, isn't he? But I thought, I'm really proud of their group of players. I thought we were outstanding. I think the penalty decision is a disgrace. Doesn't want to talk about it now for some reason, but we'll talk every other week. I think it's really poor one for them. Dawson gets to it.
But that's the season, that's the league. It throws up different challenges to you. It's not all going to be nice and pretty, and sometimes you got to run and you got to fight. And second half, we did that really well. And the moments went for us, and we obviously win the game.
Yeah, it was victory for Shamrock Rovers in the Dublin derby. And it was Stephen Bradley, you heard there, last head coach of Shamrock Rovers, speaking after Alan Reynolds spoke to our colleagues at Virgin Media after that game. Jonathan Higgins was on commentary for Off the Ball alongside, and I've got two of the best co-coms in the business here with me today as ever. Finney Perth was there at Tallaght Stadium. Of course, Gareth McLean, you were down at Tolka Park watching Derry City get a victory against Shelburne. What an interesting weekend as ever of results, because they've got Rovers now leading by 2 points at the top ahead of St. Pat's. Dundalk in third, Bowes in fourth. Derry City are in fifth place above Galway United. And then it's Shells, Sligo Rovers, Drogheda United and Waterford from sixth down to tenth. Vinny, something grinding your gears from that match on Friday night, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think
First of all, live commentary is difficult, as you know. The penalty decision, Steve-O, live I looked the penalty. So I think, to be fair to the referee, I can see why he gave it. It's one of them. Everyone, I think a lot of people have seen it back now. The Devoy does plant his foot there before Grant as he's trying to kick the ball, but I think it looked live. It did look a penalty, so therefore I can. And I know the ref is 3 yards away, and I'm 60, but it all happened so quick. To be fair, so I can understand why the decision's made, and sometimes we bash referees for these decisions, but it is what it is. I've been on about this for a while now. I think the 57 minute, there was a signal sent to the Rovers goalkeeper and he went down and it was a timeout. And it's very clear it was a timeout. Fourth official has to see it, has to manage that part of it. And I think we have to stop it. I think it's like we'd over 9,000 people there. The game was, I would say it was okay. It was a good game. It wasn't the best game between these two we've ever seen. I know if you support both teams, you would have loved it. We can't take that 9,000 people for granted and just start with timeouts now all of a sudden. So I think...
Hang on a second, Evan. Can I stop you there for a moment, right? This is one of Irish football's finest exports. This goalkeeper going down with an injury for a timeout. This has gone right across Europe. They're doing this in Italy. They're doing it in Spain. They're doing it in the Premier League. They're doing it everywhere. Should we not be proud of this? We've had such an impact on the world game.
Yeah, well, Keith Andrews adopted as well. He watched a huge amount of League of Ireland football. What was ironic to me was a couple of Bowes lads on the bench getting tick about it. I mean, it was invented somewhere belonged to that coaching staff. But it's very easy to fix, Steve-O. Very easy. Once the decision is made, the referee allows treatment on for a goalkeeper, unless there's a clear and obvious like clash or something. But they're going down for no reason. Okay, no clashes, none of that stuff. Fourth official or the linesman on that side walks on 15 yards onto the pitch, and no player is allowed to approach the bench until that goalkeeper's treatment is finished. Therefore, if I want to give an instruction to a team or completely reset up my team, which managers are doing, or just before they make a substitution, I'm shouting 20 yards so everybody can hear it. That's the only way of fixing it, because like it's just 2 and 3 minutes out of a game and it affects the flow of teams. It affected Bowes. We're starting to build a bit of momentum and it's very clear what happened. So they have to stop it.
And listen, do you know something? We can't just have a go at one team. They've all done it. I think every team in this Premier Division has been guilty of doing this. Gareth, would you have any ideas as to how you kind of put a stop to it?
Yeah, I think just on Vinny's comment there as well, it's a good idea. There has to be something put in place for it. It happened in the Derry game on Friday night as well. I mean, Shells were gaining serious momentum in the second half, looking like they were going to go on and win the game, and the keeper went down, and it's the momentum. I like Vinny's solution, but it still stops the momentum of the game. Like, do not underestimate when you're on top and things are going well and you're in that kind of moment. Things are easy and looking easy, and you can see that the team's going to score. Even stopping it for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes from it kills the game from an attacking perspective. Gets you set up as well. That's a start. I think that's a start. What Vinny's saying, but we're seeing it all over the place, and it's just getting worse. So before it gets even worse again, we need to stop it.
Put your sub goalkeeper on for 5 minutes.
That's the
extreme. For a minimum 5 minutes, get the goalkeeper off and your sub-keeper goes on for a minimum 5 minutes until he's fixed.
Yeah, and that's the extreme of it, Steve-O. And I think we can, there's a stepping stone to that. And then if it continues where people are still coaching as the game goes on and not afraid to shout 15 yards or whatever it is, the linesman on that side's distance is, well then... go to that level, because it's not, they can't do it. Like, at what stage is enough when a team does it twice and then the opposition get control of a game and they say you're 1-0 down and you do it, and all of a sudden you're 2-1 up and then you do it. Then it's just 3 and 4 of them going on in the game. Can't have it.
But not only that, Vinny, see, as a spectacle, as a fan, honestly, God, the Friday night in Togo Park, it was a great game of football, really, really good, enthralling, and it just killed it as an experience. You could hear the gasp in the crowd going, ah, for God's sake. I was looking forward to seeing what was going to happen next, and it's like starting the game again. It really is.
Lads, just one other thing before we move on. There's something I've seen over the last couple of weekends, watching games, commentating on games, is players, so a team gets a free kick, player from the opposition team stands right in front of the ball, stops and taking a quick free kick, or else maybe kicks the ball away. Now, I just double-checked the rules, because I knew I had the rules right, but I just double-checked to make sure I went on the IFAB website. That's a yellow card offence now. And over a year ago, I think it was the start of the season before last, referees were maybe getting heavy on this. If a team gets a free kick, they can take a free kick, but if the opposition player stands in front of them, blocks their way, that's a yellow card. It's an automatic booking. It's not happening. Now, I'm just saying that this isn't me just having a go. I'm going to come out in defence of referees now in just a moment, but just to put that one out there first, surely referees need to start dishing out yellow cards for this, because again, it's another way of teams stopping momentum.
I totally agree with you. And I tell you another thing, Steve-O, the attacking players that are fouled or on the ground and their teammates beside, people aren't moving the ball quick enough. It's almost like we're overcoached, that when we get a free kick in this position, this is what we need to do. And it takes about 2.5 minutes for everybody to get into their position, and this is what we're going to do. And it's like, out of the playbook, what's wrong with putting your hand on the ball and playing quickly, especially when you do have that momentum? And I agree with you. To stop that, they need to start dishing out yellow cards. But they need to bring everybody together, managers, players, and say to them, right. Because I honestly think, I don't know, I haven't heard this, this year the refereeing's been much, much better. They're letting the games flow. They're not blowing the whistle as much as they were last year. It was a massive gripe of mine last year, not letting the game flow. This year it's flowing. They knock that out, what you're just talking about, then the game flows even better and it becomes a real, real exciting game.
Yeah, I think those yellow cards need to keep coming forward. Just on that thing, can I just say this as well? Listen, well, we've spoken there about really is between the goalkeeper injuries and the no yellow cards being given for what is a bookable offence in the rules. This is down to cynicism of teams and of players. Players are being instructed by their managers to do these things. Players are taking it upon themselves to do these things. It's pure cynicism. And that doesn't help the referees. Referees are, you know, players and managers trying to con referees every week. And, you know, for all the people that are giving referees stick, you need to start looking at your own teams and your own players, because until we get to a point where there isn't as much attempts to con referees, they'll get things wrong. But you know what I mean? They're not being helped here by what is essentially cheating. Vinny?
Yeah, I think I'm... This is where I need to be careful. I was walking into Richmond Park last week, Rovers and Pats, and one Pats fan said, I was in favour of balls in on the podcast, and another a Rovers fan said I was in favour of Pats going into the game, you know, that way, so you couldn't win. But it just happened. Recency bias is, I've watched the last two Rovers games. I've worked on both of them, radio and TV, and there was one example of a young Michael Noonan stopped a quick free kick for balls, shouldn't I? Very simple. Either the balls player has to kick the ball at him and get him booked, or the referee has to interfere and book him. There was too much of that going on the last couple of weeks in games. So, and the more they do that, that's the only way to fix it. It's very fixy. They had to come up with a solution in this, and Gab, you remember, where you hand the ball to somebody, and that's gone too far. I'm not suggesting you put it on a play. Michael Noonan should have put it on a tee for the fella, but you've got a couple of seconds and then get out there. And it's about momentum. It's about the flow of the game. The two issues we're talking about are linked, and it's important that you made that point around. We have to take responsibilities as coaches, as players, as people, that we want the game flowing.
Yeah.
And I keep going back to Tala was brilliant the other night. Atmosphere excellent. Not just over 9,500, so effectively was sold out because of the segregation. Brilliant advertisement for the game. Just let it flow then. Let it flow. People want to play their own way, whether that's kicking the backside off the ball or people want to play the beautiful game. That's grand. But let it flow. Game ball in play in the Premiership, we haven't got the stats for Air League, is down at 2008 levels. It's down as low as being in 15, 16 years. I imagine we're getting close to that at times because of the way we're going. So we need to be on top of it.
10-yard rule. 10-yard rule. Soon put an end to it.
Yeah.
You do, it gets moved forward 10 yards.
Absolutely. This week, our feature match on Off the Ball is St. Patrick's Athletic versus Bohemians. That's at Richmond Park. Richie Tell will be alongside me for that game. And our reporter, Ben Symes, is off to Celtic Park for Derry City versus Shamrock Rovers. So we will have all of the action from those two games. Of course, all the post-match interviews from the respective managers and players. LOI Late Night is on X / Twitter this Friday. Jumping Off the Ball's X channel from 10 p.m. after the games to have your say about your team with Shane Keegan and another guest. And then on Saturday morning in your podcast feed, do look out for OTB's LOI wrap-up with all the post-match chat and review of the Friday night action. So that feature match, lads, Pats against Bows. Vinny, 13th of March was the last time Bows won a game. Four draws since then. Back-to-back defeats over the last 2 weeks. How big of a trip is this for Bows to Inchicore?
I think it's huge. You heard at the start of the show my thoughts on the game last week. They were unlucky not to get something out of the game, but they didn't. So it's very much a Stephen Kenny type comment I heard from Reynolds, as in, we've only lost two games all season. Well, that is true, but you haven't won in, what is it, six?
Yeah.
So that is worrying. They're better than that, and they need to get back to being better than that. I liked it a bit more, their shape the other night, Steve-O, in terms of Ross Tierney being central and that sort of giving them running power. Obviously, Dale Rooney, I think, is really exciting. And sort of going with more natural fullbacks. I know there's times where they've played Jordan in there and people have been comfortable enough with it and felt he's done okay. He's a lovely, lovely footballer. But I think the challenge for Bowles has been putting the ball in the back of the net, isn't it? I mean, James Taylor, that was a real welcome back for him. It was great to see him. Looked a little bit off. He'd done okay at times, which you'd expect. They need him to start firing goals. I'm starting to see if you go back to what I was saying at the start of the season, my concern from Bowles, ironically, wasn't going forward. It was actually defensively. I'm starting to see a few cracks, Steve-O, where the likes of Hickey is not, like, I'm not sure he's that centre-half they need, but he's done a wonderful job. I mean, their goal, this makes no sense because their goals conceded is so low, but I'm starting to see some cracks there defensively. So I think this is a huge game for Bowles. I think they need to get a win. That two losses only ends up being seven. If they don't win this, or seven games without a win, at what stage is that not good enough? Like, you know, I'm not suggesting anything bigger or, you know, the dreaded sack word or anything like that. But I'm just saying, Bowles need to be challenging for the league. So they're thereabouts. I still think, I've told you so many times, I think Rovers are 9+ points ahead of everybody else on paper. But Bowles should be thereabouts, and not winning in six is not good enough for them. I think they're better than that. So it's a huge game for them.
Yeah, just on the cracks, like, and look, that's certainly something that I think it's important to raise, because you can see, like, I felt a few weeks ago, you could see signs that they were struggling up front and teams were finding it easy, and that's developed over the weeks, and they were lacking a bit of ruthlessness there on Friday night. But is there something specific? Is it the shape of the defence? Is it a drop off in standards from the players? Is it maybe just that confidence? Is the confidence from the players ebbing away a bit, and that's having an impact on the way they play?
I think when you look at Hickey, no one really expected him to play centre half, right? So when Garrett, will tell you this, when Garrett was a player, right, if I threw Garrett in as a fullback, not about it. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, fine. But eventually the little cracks will come in where, you know, playing on instinct doesn't last forever. And over a course of a season, it doesn't last forever. Like, I think Sandon Mullen is a good player. Todd, I think, is a loss to Derry. I think he's a good player. Hickey, decent power, you know, not bad. But there has been, through injuries and different things, there's been different people playing fullbacks. The two centre-halves have been, within reason, consistent. I think they've got one of the best keepers in the league. There's no problem with that. But you look at the first goal Graham Bourke scored. It's just awful from the two of them. They're better than that. And these things can happen. But they're less likely to happen with two experienced centre-halves that know their roles. And it's little things like that, I'm just starting to see them giving away more chances. The line isn't as straight as it was earlier on the season for whatever reason. Mullen done well against Rovers, gone forward, but defensively I felt you could get on them at different stages. So it just feels they're under a little bit of pressure defensively for me. That's just from my eye.
Yeah, Gareth, they're certainly going to have their heads screwed on at the back this weekend. Like, you've got Aidan Keane coming in after that goal against Charlie United. He looked pretty good in that match. And also Keane Levy as well, nipping around the box. He's going to be dangerous. And we know all the attacking talent Pats have. So, like, Bows are going to be, that defence and defensive midfield unit in front of them is going to be kept busy.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of know what Vinny's saying, but I also disagree slightly. I think that's the best back five I've seen Bowes have in a long time. I think it's so well balanced. We saw Flores play right, Honoran play right back. It just basically looked stuck together. This is a settled back four, as you will see from Bowes. Hickey, I think, and Vinny, you might know this, or Stephen might know this. I'm nearly sure Hickey played underage at centre half. Just when he went to Galway, he was put into a 10 or a striker. Is that not right?
You know, he has played centre-back previously, yeah.
Yeah. So he's a young man. I think he's excellent. Any games now, I did not see the game at the weekend, just passed. You just were at the game, he made it look shaky. I think he's looked really, really good, especially the first match in the Aviva, him and Sam Todd. I thought they were excellent. They were their ability to come out with the ball, their ability to play with the ball, and that's the way Bowes want to play. I would imagine Stephen and Rennie want to play that way. So they're perfect for me for this team as centre-half partnerships. Yes, there are going to be frailties. Yes, there's going to be mistakes. But I think if they keep them four fit and the keeper, I think defensively they will be 100% all year round. I think they're as good a defensive unit as there is in the league. I think they're better than Pats. They're better than Derry. Obviously, Shamrock Rovers are as strong as they are. I think they're as good as they're better than Shells. So I think, and then Flores playing in that position where he's naturally good, I think he's exceptional. The night up in the Brandywell and I saw them playing, I was blown away about how good they were defensively, especially when they went in front. They just fell into a mid-sized block and they never give any chances away. So it'll be interesting to see how obviously the season plans out, how they get on, but I think they're good there. I agree with you, Steve. I think it's the other end of the pitch. I think they got to get Douglas Taylor either firing on all cylinders or either taken out until he is firing and leave Whelan in there, because Whelan is getting goals. Like, the strikers are streaky. His top goal scorer, leave him in there. He will get chances and goals.
Yeah, the Pats team, like, I suppose, coming back from that really, I suppose, bit of a sucker punch of a defeat against Shamrock Rovers, they would have been feeling pretty bad about themselves after that. But to come back and to win 3-1 against Drogheda United, that'll be a real confidence boost, I think, for Stephen Kenny and his team as well, Gareth, coming into this game.
Yeah, 100%. And getting El Vazetti back as well is a massive plus. I mean, I couldn't believe he just threw him straight in. So obviously, he's ready to go. If you know yourself, if you come back from an injury as a player, managers usually say, listen, stay there, we'll get you 20 minutes, half an hour in the first game, maybe then another hour, and then you're straight in. But he came in and played, started the game, so he's good. Keane's goals, just what he does, what a goal, what a finish.
Yeah.
So this is turning out to be one of the games of the season already. Both teams not need 3 points, but obviously, I mean, if Pats get 3 points, they go top, depending on what Rovers do, and then Bowes on this run of six games, you don't want to go to seven. So this is going to be a cracker on Friday night.
Yeah, Pat's, Vinny, just like, I did feel watching bits and pieces of the Drogheda United game, they were kind of given the space to play maybe in a different kind of way that they were against Shamrock Rovers, who are really in their faces. So they need to be wary of that as well, I think, you know?
Yeah, but I think they went back. I spoke about it last week, don't need to go over all the ground, but
yeah.
What he did playing Rovers, matching them up, is just a fatal error. And he went back to basics and back to what they're good at a little bit. And that's the difference for me. They have to learn from that. You can't just go up to Rovers and just match them and be better than them. They're excelling at it for 5 years. So, but Aidan Keane coming back into the team is huge, because he can be that link man. Sort of that nine and a half, we call it now. That's the new one, 9.5, where he can join in, score goals, but he can also link it between Barry Bagley and Jamie Lennon. Lennon looked off it against Rovers the week before, and he's obviously improved because he needs some game time. He's been now injured. Bagley has been very, very good for them. So look, Pats have a really, really formidable squad. Getting the right team and the right blend on the pitch. Sean Horgo's out, and I think Sean's excellent, obviously, but Tom Gorofsky goes in and he's not really a downgrade, you know. He's not really a downgrade in any way, shape or form. He can probably feel harshly done by. He's lost his place. Whenever Sean is fit, Stephen tends to pick him. So they have it all. Edmondson, as we know, really unlucky the week before. He's done really well from Leeds to line. So there's a lot going for Pats. You'd probably make Pats favourites in this game. But again, it's too tough to call. It's a Dublin derby that could go either way. But I think it'll be a really tight game, this one. There won't be a lot in it. And you feel like Pats have the more match winners in the squad. That's the only reason I go for them.
And Steve,
yeah, go on.
The team that Stephen picked going to Drogheda at the weekend, it's a very attacking team.
Yeah.
Like playing Albacete in that left wing back. I mean, he's basically got three centre halves, Lennon in front of that. Bagley wouldn't be the most defensive players. Like, it's quite aggressive. That's what I love about team selections and substitutes. The confidence that managers give their players just by their team selection. The players are looking around going, happy days, Stephen wants us to go down here and put this to bed and win easy and score goals. Other managers would go to Drogheda or go to Galway or go to Waterford with maybe six or seven defenders on the pitch and say, you know what, we'll keep it tight, we'll nick it after, and we'll bring people off the bench with half an hour to go and nick the game. That you can see that coming out in the players, the confidence the manager has in it is who he's picking and in what positions.
Yeah, I see even Joe Anang was put out on the right wing at one point in the game, did all right out there, apart from the goal. But no, I'm only joking. Celtic Park, wow. It's a bit of history this weekend. Gareth will have Ben Symes up there, as I said, for Off the Ball. And saw a couple of weeks ago, Atletico Madrid decided to not cut the grass at their stadium before they played Barcelona. How's the grass looking up at Celtic Park? Are we sticking with the GAA length of grass or to put Shamrock Rovers off? Or are we going to give it a bit of a trim up there, Gareth? Have you seen the pitch yet?
I would say that the Rovers player studs would need to be about that size there. It is long. It is long. It is patchy. And it is a Gaelic pitch at the end of the day. I haven't been up now, but I've spoken to a few people that have been up. The Rovers delegates have obviously been up looking at the pitch as well. I don't think they were too pleased. Listen, they've only had a week to work on it. Like, there was a GAA match at the weekend. 1 week is not a long time. I would imagine, I haven't got the confirmation this, I would imagine the pitch is going to be over beside the dugouts in front of the stand. I think for atmosphere, that'd be better. I think Rovers are bringing a lot of fans as well. I think there's close to 1,000 Rovers fans coming. It's turned out to be a cracker of attendance. But how good the quality will be, it'll be very interesting. And it'll be very interesting, Stephen Bradley's team selection. I think if Stephen Bradley comes and sees a pitch or gets feedback from the delegates on the pitch, does it influence his players and what kind of team he's going to be playing? Or does it come up here and go, you know what, bad pitch, away to Derry, hostile environment, do we go and pick a strong team, running team, physical team that can play in these conditions and maybe try and nick it or take a point and go home? So I don't know, we'll see.
I tell you, if you're looking for a strong running player, Barry Cotter looks the man, doesn't he, after that performance against Shelburne? I thought he looked really, really strong, really good. And he brought a bit of... I know there might have been one little mistake in the build-up to the Shell's goal, but overall, he certainly seems to be finding his feet at Derry City.
Yeah, it's taken him time, Steve. I mean, a lot of people don't realise Barry hasn't played a full game until before Christmas last year, until he arrived at Derry. He was thrown straight in, very little training, very little, basically no pre-season to get him up to speed. He'll tell you, and the players will tell you, he wasn't 100% fit, nowhere near it. He's not even still 100% fit. He was exceptional in the first half. Him and Daniel Kelly had a real ding-dong. He got the better of Daniel, who's been doing brilliant for Shells. Daniel was taken off at half-time. Will Jarvis gave him an awful time when he came on until Barry was taken off. And it was just the legs. He was so good in the first half. He exerted so much energy. But Will Jarvis was exceptional when he came on. And then, of course, Barry got his first goal for the club. He'd be flying in 4 minutes.
Are we any closer to seeing Cameron Dumigan, Garrett? Like, Cameron 2 years ago was arguably the best player in the league. He can play right centre half, he can play midfield, but right back as well. I know Barry Cotter, we've just been speaking about. Any closer to seeing him?
Yeah, so he came on the other night again. We had about 25 minutes to go. I talked to you about that patch that Shells were battering Derry. It was a boxing match, the white flag would have been done. Derry hit them in the counter-attack. Then he made a triple substitution, Tiernan did, and he brought Dumigan on, and Dumigan just settled everyone down. I don't get me wrong, the way he plays the game is at his pace. It's slow. No matter how frantic the game is, he will slow it down and make it a technical game. He was brilliant when he came on, and you're right, he used him in them right of a three at centre-half, and he just gives the players around him just confidence, basically. So is he ready to start the game on Friday night? I don't know. He just doesn't look fit enough right now. And it was a bad injury as well. And not only that, Dumigan has come off the back of two bad injuries. So there's no way that Dumigan, Cameron, will want to get a bad injury again. So it might be a week too early, but he's on the way back.
And has Lynch stumbled upon something with that Shells game, Gary? Just looking with the team, Ed Beach seemed to do okay. There was some good counter-pressing from Derry City, which kind of would lead me to think that they are still trying for the manager. There's no, you know, it just looked like a kind of a performance you could hang your hat on a bit, and that Shamrock Rovers might be facing a better Derry City now than they would have been a few weeks ago.
I think that's a wee bit of a stretch, Steve, if I'm 100% honest. I think they were very similar away to Pats in Richmond, the last away game. Just really solid, hard to beat. Beach was unbelievable. It was his best game. Now, he's been getting man of the matches from a number of Derry games, so that shows you how many chances they've been given up. The save that he made at the end of the game the other night was unbelievable. And I have to give Shells massive credit here as well. So they get a free kick, anybody hasn't seen it, on the right-hand side of the penalty box, right almost at the corner, 18-yard box. So they've no real left footers on there that can whip it in and go for a goal. It's kind of too close to get it up and get it down for a header. So they push all the players forward, they bring Paddy Barrett round the back, play it on the ground to the penalty spot. Paddy Barrett's technique is exceptional. The ball's coming fired at him, he gets his knee over it and he connects beautifully he thinks it's in. Beach gets down to his left, saves it, not only saves it and throws it out into the rest of the players, saves it and gets it into his hands, and the referee blows it up. It was an unbelievable, I don't know whether it was a routine, but by Shells, it was brilliant. And it was an unbelievable save that ended up winning them the 3 points. And to be honest, when you had it went in, I don't think Derry would have had much complaints, because Shells were very good in the second half. Awful in the first half, really poor. Second half were excellent.
Vinny, just briefly on Rovers before we move on. When you take into consideration what Garrett's saying about the pitch and that, what kind of team selection do you think Bradley will be looking at for this one? Listen, it is going to be a big occasion. It's at a different grounds, at a GA grounds, a bit of history here, but I'm sure, they've played in big matches all across Europe. They played Stamford Bridge recently, so look, he's going to be able to say to them, look, forget about the occasion, we're just here to try and get 3 points.
I think the one thing Bradley has done, it's almost Stephen, unlike Stephen, is his team selection has been really consistent over the last couple of weeks. Very, very few changes. If any, Danny Grant came in place of someone played right wing back against Pats.
Brennan or?
No, there was only one real change anyway in the last couple of weeks. So, been really consistent. Corey O'Sullivan, Lopez, Subowali. Subowali's really
Sorry,
found
it was Jake Mulroney, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, Jake Mulroney started the other day as well. Unless Danny Grant probably started against
Pats. Mulroney left and right against Pats as well, yeah.
Yeah, well then, there was no changes to the night, which is... Oh, sorry, I know what the change was. Healy has
John
an injury.
John O'Sullivan came in for Healy.
Yeah, so Healy had a rib injury, and I think we're getting close to finding their best team there. So young Sullivan, by the way, exceptional young player. Go back to Rovers for a sec real quick. Corey O'Sullivan, John O'Sullivan, Victor Ozevuna, Michael Noonan, like those young players, Brennan coming off the bench. Oh, I tell you what, he's done a brilliant job with them. But go back to the team selection. What they do is I think if possible, you go close to that team. And the reason being, I think we're seeing Jack Bourne, Victor, Graham, Bourke running the show from midfield, both with the ball and without it. The high press, they weren't brilliant. And what was brilliant about them the other night from Rovers' point of view is against Pats, Jack Bourne, best player on the pitch. Against Bowles, Graham Bourke, close to best player on the pitch. Devoy would have a show for that, obviously. And Victor has been excellent in both of them games as well. So they're just rotating, and that's what the top teams do, who's the best player. So, look, it's a difficult game for them because of all of the occasion, all that stuff. Rovers went up there and got a point. They'd be more than happy to come down the road.
Well, listen, Shells versus Drogs is also on Friday night. I am fascinated to see how this one develops because we're looking at Kevin Doherty team against the Joey O'Brien team, two managers that will pride themselves on really solid defences, and it just hasn't been happening in that area of the pitch for them. Now, as we know, there is that caveat for Shells with Paddy Barrett having been absent for a good chunk of the start of the season. He was back last week. You're obviously down at Talca Park, and going into their game against Drogheda United at Talca Park this Friday, John, I was looking at Gareth, the amount of second balls that Shells aren't dealing with. And is this something that Joey O'Brien will be losing his mind with because he's coached the players how to deal with this stuff? Is it, you know, Paddy Barrett was obviously back last week, so he should be there to, I suppose, steer it all. What kind of would stick out for you as to what they have to get better when they play Drogheda this Friday night?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. The players, I mean, we all heard Damien Duff's comments on Virgin Media as well, that he feels that the players are letting them down a bit. And I kind of tend to agree, looking at the first half the other night. Listen, Derry are going through a tough time. There's no kind of hiding that fact. So they were there to be got at, especially early in the game. It wasn't until 55, 60 minutes that we really saw the best of Shells. And we only saw it for about 20, 25 minutes. Now, see, during that 25 minutes, they were exceptional. But for an hour, they were just lackluster. Now, see, defensively, I know you're talking about Paddy Barrett and Bone were very good. Ledwich put an incredible ball in for the goal. Defensively, they're quite good. If you look at Derry's goals, it was the ball dropping after a corner, which happens. Second ball, boom, Cotter put it away. The second goal, Depot, which is a great finish, it's just a Dumigan, actually, block up in the corner, falls to Depot when he scores. So Shells didn't give away many chances, but they didn't create a lot either. I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously, if I knew, it'd be great, but Joey's definitely not getting a tune out of them all. There seems to be a lack of hunger, which is strange considering the league position, so they should be hungry. But going forward, the amount of people that they have, and Martin was excellent as well the other night. He was very patient, got between the two centre halves, dealt with scraps, and he was there when the ball was put in. One thing I'd be keen to get you two boys, not to go off on a tangent, game management for players in game. So Fleming came off. So Derry had made their five subs, right? There was about 7 minutes left of normal time, 7 minutes of injury time. Fleming comes off with cramp. He's looking at the bench, basically saying, I can't go on again. I'm struggling. Goes back on and walks about for 14 minutes. Shells don't even try and go down the right-hand side. At that time, it was not Caffrey. The sub was Gannon had come on. If Gannon knocks a ball past Fleming, he can't catch him. Now, Will Jarvis was brilliant on the left-hand side. Surely game management, they should say, right, lads, Will, get over there, stick on Fleming, just go at him. I just don't understand it. They basically passed the ball around in front of the back four for about 5 minutes before actually creating the chance in the last free kick at the end of the game. Yeah. Like, players have got to take responsibility of what's happening in the game as well. They've got to see things and adapt. Like, they can't just be going, right, now the coach told me to do this for the whole game, this is what I'm going to do. They've got to use their own brain and their own kind of, and that's where the quick free kicks come in as well. You've got to go and do it as you see it. Use your own your own creativity
initiative. Your own initiative.
If I was a Shells fan, I would even pull my hair out. Obviously, they went on to lose the game. Those sort of things, you'd be expecting your players, especially your leaders on the pitch, to go and do it. But back on Paddy Bard, he was brilliant the other night again. Yeah. Very, very good.
Just on Drogheda United, Vinny, it's not great for Kevin Doherty at the moment. Looking at their away record, even, they've only got 5 points from six in their away games so far. 5-5, I should say, 5-6 at home. And just that defence seems to be letting them down. I was looking at that goal they conceded, Aidan Keane. It's just schoolboy stuff where the defender, I think it was Bulger, James Bulger, he just gets too tight to Keane. So he allows Keane to roll him. And then there was another mistake in one of the other goals. Keane Levy obviously got that bit of deflection off Conor Keane. It just looks like really standard stuff that we know Drogheda United can do well. So how does Kevin Doherty pull them out of this little bit of a, you know, a bit of a slump that they're in at the moment?
I think they've had a couple of games where they've done okay and hasn't gone for them. I think getting the fourth goal for Drogheda, that isn't always the case, but I think that's huge for them. Give themselves something to hang on to. We know they know how to do that. And then the opposition are playing on the edge. Every time set piece, free kick, they're worried about to go 2-0 down. So I think trying to get that fourth goal would be huge for them. And then it's just about, look, Kevin knows his players better than all of us. It's about instilling that little bit of belief. What we're doing works. We know it works. We have the history of the last sort of 2 years to back it up. And just say, go back to basics. They've got some good players. They've got a lot of stuff. What you need to be careful of is when you're in a rut, sometimes you go too deep into, I've been guilty of this as well, you go too deep into stuff. You start looking for things that aren't there. Start making changes that you don't need to. Drogheda are very, very good at what they do. Just keep the basics and do the basics really well. It's funny, I wanted to swing for them a little bit. I hope they get a couple of results over the next couple of weeks because there's been a lot of noise around that club and don't need any more noise, you know. Sligo have moved ahead of them now. Waterford are struggling, thankfully for Drogheda. But what they don't need is Waterford getting close to them over the next couple of weeks, because then all of that noise ramps up. Even though it's not good to do what's going on the pitch, it just gets a little bit louder.
Yeah, and like Galway United have a good chance of going above Drogheda United this week. If Drogheda were to lose that game and Galway were to win away to Waterford, which there's a really good chance of happening, that means that Drogheda would drop down another place. And who knows, if Sligo Rovers were to win at home against Dundalk and a couple of weeks ago, that might not look like a possibility, but the way Sligo Rovers are going at the moment, you got Will Fitzgerald is absolutely flying for them. Archie Meekson is chipping in with a goal and an assist or two. And, you know, they're looking pretty good ahead of their home match against Dundalk this weekend. Gareth John Russell seems to be like back-to-back wins. If they were to get three in a row now, they'd be really flying. And we've yet to see their pitch to come good in the summertime.
I don't know why we doubt them, Steve-O. It's always you.
Well, I never doubted them. I never doubted them. I always back Russell.
He does it every year. He goes through a bad patch, and then before you know it, they put three or four ones. And we know with three or four, we just talked about how tight it is at the bottom. It's equally as tight in the middle. The top four look to be kind of pulling away a wee bit. There's a 6-point difference between fourth and fifth. But, I mean, you won a couple of games like they've done. They've got Dundalk now at home. They've got players playing with confidence. They've got Jad Hakiki coming back from injury as well, which is a great addition. I said they would struggle because they haven't got enough firepower. Meekison starting to score goals. I know Kavanagh didn't score at the weekend, but he was a real focal point for them. And then at the back, Sergeant McElroy's playing well. They're doing well. We don't give them enough credit. I mean, when the pitches come good as well, the players that I just mentioned, they will thrive off that. The showgrounds, I heard John Russell saying it's getting a wee bit better. So maybe that was, and again, the sun's been shining all week, so it should be in good condition come Friday. But that'll be a cracker. Yeah. Sligo v Dundalk. My God. Either of them getting 3 points there really kicks them off.
That's the one on Saturday night, of course, Sligo Rovers against Dundalk. And look, Dundalk, we'll come back to them again next week. A brilliant performance by Declan McDade as well, maybe showing again how good of a coach, not just a manager, Kieran Gilduff is. Banging the tune out of Declan there. He got an assist in the last game and had two goals then against Galway. Really good stuff. Just on to touch on the last game, Waterford against Galway United. I've already alluded to the fact that this could be a win for Galway that could see them rise above Drogheda United, depending how all the games go. And listen, I have to say quickly, Stephen Walsh, 35 years of age. What a bloody bicycle kick that was by him last week. Fantastic stuff. I know they lost the game ultimately, but I tell you, if you're doing that at 35 years of age, I'd love to see what his fitness plan, his nutrition plan is there, because he's doing mighty stuff. Waterford, Vinny, where is the win going to come from?
I don't know. Whatever's happening, it isn't working. They're struggling, and they've got a lot of decent players on paper in terms of League of Ireland experience and different bits and pieces. But no, it's not working. John Mann, Kevin Long, we thought was part of the solution. Obviously, having Almond and Lonergan up front, it's just not working. They've tried back trees. Glenfield has come in out of the team. Lonergan's come in out of the team. Conor Carty, all of these, Hayden Cann, all these fellas have experience of playing in our league.
Two-time top scorer of the season.
Yeah, Barry. So it's just not happening. And I don't know where it's coming from. It feels like they're searching constantly. There's some in-game stuff where you go back to the very first game, they changed the shape and done really well. Then a few weeks later, they changed the shape back a different way, done really well at halftime. But that's not enough. They need a couple of big wins because that gap will get bigger and bigger as it goes on. And I don't know where they're going to come from. I just don't know. Yeah. The likes of losing to Sligo was that six-pointer. They went from being almost level with them to now 6 points behind them. So, yeah, it's a big struggle.
I think the manner of the loss as well, the first half, I mean, we talked about Shells in the first half. It could have been 3 or 4 to Sligo in the first half. That must be really tough to take for John Daly. He's then made a heap of substitutes again to try and get a reaction out of the players. They play better in the second half, but the damage is done. And then evidently Sargent keeps Sligo in the game and gets him all 3 points. But, I mean, he must be pulling his hair out. Why they can't perform over 90 minutes or why they can't start games properly.
Yeah, I'd say the supporters are certainly pulling their hair out at this stage as well. And the last thing they want is to be going down and to be replaced by Cork City in the top flight, their Munster rivals. We'll see how they get on this weekend when they face Galway United. St. Patrick's Athletic vs Bohemians with myself and Richie Tell is the feature match on this Friday and Off the Ball on News Talk from 7 p.m. ahead of the 7:45 kickoff. LOI Late Night on X on Friday. Jump on the Off the Ball X channel from 10 o'clock to have your say about your team with Shane Keegan and another guest. And then on Saturday morning in your podcast feed, look for OTB's LOI Wrap Up with the post-match and a review of Friday night's action.
Can I just say, Steve-O, the wrap-up?
Briefly.
I'm very impressed by the wrap-up.
Ah, great to hear. I'll let Ross know. Ross?
Yeah, it's that sort of 5-10 minutes where Saturday morning just goes over everything, couple of interviews, all of that stuff. It's really good.
That's from Ross Flanagan, one of the good lads in the office, and it's great to see him doing that. So do have a look out for that, folks. Cheers for that, Vinny. So Vinny Perth, Garrett McLean, thanks a million, lads. We'll chat to you next week, and we'll chat to you next week.
You good?
Cheers, man.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball.